Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenzi. It's amazing, isn't it, how series can change in the playoffs, huh? Look, Matias is a Clipper fan. They're down 0-2. The sky is falling. They're going to break the team up. And here we are now, tied at 2, and the Dallas Mavericks can't get out of their own way. And Porzingis sucks. Luka Doncic is hurt. And the Clippers are on the verge of, like, I don't know, winning this series in 6 games. The Canadians were down 3-1. They just won in 7. So how you feeling about the Clippers now? A lot more feeling better after the weekend? Listen, Matias, you called it. You didn't give up, actually. I killed them. I buried them. But you did not.
No, I didn't, Gabe. I just think that Ty Lue needed to adjust, you know, the lineup a little bit, give the young players some more minutes, and that's exactly what he did. You know, I said less Beverly. I said less Zubac, more Terrence Mann, more Nick Batum, and that's exactly what happened. And they threw a wrench in the sink for the Dallas Mavericks. They weren't able to really adjust to that lineup, and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George really shunned this during their game 4. And then the shooter started shooting. Marcus Morris called Markieff Morris, and the Laker told his brother, keep shooting, you're the best shooter in the world. I know that didn't sit well with a lot of Laker fans, considering a Laker might have saved the series for the Clippers because Marcus Morris has played great in the last game and a half because he had to call his brother at halftime in game 3.
The Mavericks get 7.5. They're going to, you know what? They're not done. They're done kind of, but they've shown they can win on the road. They have shown they can play well on the road. Yet, similar to the Toronto, let's be real, there's almost a comparison actually to the Mavericks and the Leafs. You've got great young players, but can you win, right? And I know you're up against it. It's more on the Leafs that you can't beat the Canadians and the Mavericks being unable to beat the Clippers, but you let them off the hook. And now things could really fall into place for the Clippers, especially with the Lakers issues. The Phoenix Suns lay 5.5 points in this basketball game. The Denver Nuggets -1.5, and the Brooklyn Nets are -12.5. We'll be all over the NBA on Game Time Decisions tomorrow. We'll get a little NBA talk in before we're done. We got Rick Saratella stepping up and in. We'll step onto the grid. Little NFL talk. Get you caught up to date with the Aaron Rodgers stuff. That actor, dude. There's like an actor, dude. Like, I don't know how long Aaron Rodgers is going to stay in Hawaii for, but he seems to be enjoying himself. But one of his buddies got attacked, supposedly in a bathroom. But why do I not fully believe it? Bring it.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
BetOnline.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everybody's got an opinion. Go ahead.
Ask them.
But only a few have an opinion informed by expert analysis and experience. It's called trust.
It's why we're here.
For you. Keep it here and get the edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 204.
The late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, breaking it down with the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between on SiriusXM Channel 204. Let's bring in a man who's been beering it up, barbecuing it up, and he footballs it up. 365, Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, steps up and in. How you doing, Rick?
A little late night grill, Gabe. What's happening?
Hey, it's always a pleasure, man. Always a pleasure. So listen, there's a lot of stuff I want to get to. We hope you enjoyed your Memorial Day weekend. And shout out to everybody that that fought so hard to allow us to sit around and talk football on a Monday night. So I saw a tweet over the weekend, and I know everybody needs an Aaron Rodgers Hawaii update, right? So you know, Aaron Rodgers, I don't know how long this guy's staying in Hawaii, man. What is he, like a month-long vacation, bro? But yeah, Aaron's been in Hawaii for a couple of weeks, it seems. But he's hanging around with this actor, Miles Teller. Now, Miles Teller is actually a damn good actor. I've seen him in that movie, Whiplash, that drum movie. And he really is like an elite actor. But from what I understand, he's kind of like a D-bag in Hollywood and stuff. And no one likes him. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised to find out that him and Rodgers are best friends. I was unaware of this. Right. So he's hanging out with his like actor wife, too, down there. And he actually tweeted a picture sitting in a bar, sort of like cheers, saying congratulations on signing with the Packers to Aaron Rodgers. So people are wondering, like, he's sitting with Aaron Rodgers. Would he really be trolling Packer fans like this? Probably not. But so that was yesterday. I punched his name in today just to get his name right because I always confuse it. Miles Teller, Miles Peller, whatever. And now I see, Rick, he got beat up in a bathroom in Hawaii last night.
Yeah. Hey. That is, strange things happens when you attack the Packers fans, right? Hey, the cheeseheads are out, but I know they're not celebrating Aaron Rodgers' Jeopardy ratings because I understand he was like third with that whole tryout situation, and Katie Kirk had actually beaten him out on some of the ratings there. So I don't think they were saluting to the Jeopardy deal. We mentioned it, though, a week ago right here on your show that there was rumors your extent at $40 million per, and you wonder in the grand scheme of things if this was the ultimate power play in terms of what Rodgers was seeking. Like, hey, you know what? You drafted my successor, but guess what? He can't hold my jock strap. And so now the Packers trying to kind of, you know, feel a little, they felt a little remorseful from my understanding, not notifying Aaron Rodgers that they were drafting Jordan Love. He had to find out about it watching the NFL draft broadcast. So, you know, this is their way. It's kind of like, and God rest his soul. I don't mean to shed light on a negative situation, but God rest his soul. When Kobe Bryant bought that, you know, 18 karat ring after cheating on his, everything's, you know, kissy, kissy. It's all good type of deal.
Rick Saratella. I didn't see a Kobe drop coming in this conversation.
You never know. On the late night game.
Yeah. I didn't see a Kobe drop. You're right. And ultimately, Rick, I think when it's all said and done, is this just about money? And it was about the money. So, like, and I think you're right. I think that's where we're going with this. And when Aaron talks about feeling appreciated and doing things the right way, the culture, you and I joked about it. So what, now you're defending the way they threw Brett Favre under the bus? But let's just be real. He wanted a long-term deal to begin with, right? He doesn't want to be looking over his shoulder every year as in like, well, is this it? Is this it? He wants to be treated like he's, I don't know, like an eight-time Super Bowl champion, Rick, instead of what? The one-time Super Bowl champion is?
Well, he wants to be treated like he's Bart Starr, who won four Super Bowls, but he really only won one Super Bowl. And that's why I said it'll be fun to see the comments after the contract extension if there's a press conference because it was all about doing things the right way. and having the right.
In other words, paying me.
Yeah, right. A lot more cheddar from the Green Bay Packers. More cheese, please.
and more is. And listen, man, we're not all that far off now. Like, even the Julio Jones stuff, we hear, oh, that'll get done in June. What, you mean like June as in like in 2 days, June? Like June, it's like June is now. People are really like, well, you know what? We're a little more than 2 months away right now, guys, from the start of the preseason. So this is getting real, and I'm going to maintain. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going anywhere, bro. He's going to be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers this year. Would you agree with that? And I do think that he gets a contract extension.
I think he gets the extension. I think it coincides with the Jordan Love rookie deal, and then the Packers will have to decide whether or not Jordan Love has made enough progress or strides to be the successor, because I don't think that after this 3-year extension, I think that might be the last we see of Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's a guy like Brady who plays into his mid-40s. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be okay after this 3-year deal.
Yeah, I think you're right, too. I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants to play till he's 45. He's still playing at a pretty elite level, though. A very elite level.
He seems like he has other interests, though. The Jeopardy deal, yes. The Hollywood deal. He likes, you know, hanging out at Hawaii for, you know, you or me might go for a week or two. He could probably buy an island, right? I mean, he might be out there looking to buy an island. Who knows? But he's, you know, at $40 million per, remember, Brady was taking a lot of hometown discounts. Now, he made it up with his endorsements, and it's nice, you know, Giselle is making more than him, so he can afford to do that. But at $40 million per, over the next 3 years, I would imagine that, you know, he would then be right around 40 years old, I believe. And you know, hey, once you get into the 40s, any given year, Brady included this year, I would not be surprised. We saw how it ended with Peyton Manning. It just went like that in your 40s. Any year it could go.
Julio Jones is another story. Julio Jones will be traded. The only question is to where. There's a lot of gamesmanship going on now, Rick. So I read the old, unnamed NFL GM saying that he's heard that they have a second round offer on the table. And he said, if I was them, I would take it. But he, you know what? It's gamesmanship. It's like the draft. I don't know. Are you buying into this? They're holding out for a little bit more. It doesn't look like anybody's stepping up to the table with a first rounder. So I think that's when you try to say, all right, can we get a second rounder and a fourth rounder? Can we get a third rounder and a fourth round? Like, can we get a couple of picks out of this? And I maintain, bro, I still believe that the San Francisco 49ers are in the mix, that they really could pull this off. They've got the cap space to do it. They've got the connection with Shanahan to do it. They seem to be all in right now, but the question is, they're all in every position except the quarterback. Who's their damn quarterback?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think that with the Julio Jones deal, it's going to happen. I heard the Falcons were trying to put out there that they had a first-round pick offered, which we know is not true, because if that was the case, they would have pulled the trigger by now. But it is going to sound like a second-round pick that gets the deal done. I heard the Titans could be in the mix. You heard New England is kind of poking their head around. The Rams now are popping up as a rumored team, and wouldn't he look good in that Rams offense? But the Titans, to me, I think are the team that have the cap ability to do it. I don't think Tennessee has a first-round pick next year, but they do have a second. So if that's the case, Tennessee could get it done. The Rams could get it done. New England's been in the mix. I wouldn't rule out the 49ers, like you mentioned, with the Kyle Shanahan tie there. But, you know, my understanding is the second-round pick would also require the team essentially picking up the entire contract. And so Atlanta would be completely off the hook. Regardless, they won't have to pay Julio Jones a dime.
And that also is a big thing. And I never pretend to be like a capologist, bro. I hate that stuff. But it exists. And that's from what I was reading. The unnamed GM saying that, listen, Julio can play, but they're asking for a lot. And the question is, how much is Arthur Blank willing to eat of this? Is he willing to eat any of this? Because other teams really aren't going to be in a position to be able to do so. Seems like most teams are kind of up against it as far as the salary cap is concerned. But I'm with you. If I'm Tennessee, just pull the damn trigger. What the hell are you guys doing? Are you trying to win or not? You know, Derrick Henry's 27. Like you said last week, he's on the second contract right now. This is it. You're going to run his ass into the ground for the next 2-3 years. Tannehill's not getting any younger. You just took away. I know Corey Davis isn't a Pro Bowler, but you took away Jonnu Smith. You took away
Corey Davis. You guys are regressing, and the Colts are getting better. Colts are, like, you know, stockpiling talent. All right, more with Rick Saratella on the other side.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
I bring it.
Sports gaming insights and expert analysis on daily sporting events.
Information you can take to the bank.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Renzi. We're breaking it down and chopping it up with Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible. So, Rick, I was just venting and ranting on about it. Now you're the Tennessee Titans. You sort of have to pull the trigger on this. Like, really? And you look at that division, bro. You've got Jacksonville and you've got Houston, who are both brutal. You really do have a legitimate chance of just going head-to-head against the Indianapolis Colts and trying to win this division and getting a home playoff game, or maybe more in the playoffs. To me, Tennessee's the logical choice.
Yeah, and I'm surprised. Like, you look at the Vegas odds, you look at some of the quote-unquote insiders, a lot of them have the Titans to be around 500 or not make the playoffs. I've seen a lot of people not even have the Titans in the playoffs, which is surprising to me, because I honestly believe Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, say what you want, I think they're both legitimate MVP contenders. Now, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, who you mentioned in the previous segment, that's at least 100 targets, maybe 100 catches. And so Julio Jones could come in and absorb that and really, you know, take this team to the next level. I think he's a difference maker. I think he puts the Titans into, you know, kind of contention. And I think the Rams, again, you're talking about a team that wants to go over the top. And they just brought in Matthew Stafford. You add a Julio Jones, obviously the chemistry would have to be kind of built over the season because they have a new defensive coordinator in Raheem Morris. But you look at the model that Tampa Bay built last year, new quarterback here, little weapon here, Antonio Brown, you come over here, Gronkowski, hey, we'll pull you over here. Like, I would not think that should the Rams get Julio Jones, it might not stop there. It might lead to another pickup, because I think the Rams now are all in on this Matthew Stafford window, which is 2, maybe 3 years maximum.
Yeah, and I would say 2. The Rams are so top heavy as it is, but I definitely think they would definitely be in the mix. And how about the Kansas City Chiefs? Is that crazy? No one's really ever brought that up before, but they did. They didn't re-sign Sammy Watkins. They can always use more weapons. It's not as if though, we already have too many weapons. We haven't heard them at all. They don't seem to be in the mix. But it's funny how nobody's ever brought them up before.
Yeah, I know they had to, you know, do some moving and shaking to rework that offensive line, and they were up against it with the salary cap and Stan Watkins being one landed in Baltimore. So I don't know what their cap situation is, if they could figure out a way to kind of finesse that. But, hey, I mean, anytime you put any kind of playmaking wide receiver with Patrick Mahomes, that's going to be a nightmare. But Tyreek Hill and some of the young guys, Mecole Hardman, I think is going to really step up for Kansas City this year. But you see what happens when you pay your quarterback big bucks, you know, you tend to lose some of those other pieces. And again, take a look at Brady. I don't think he's in the top 1, 2, or even 3 quarterbacks paid in the league, and it allows them to bring all 22 starters back. So again, Brady taking the hometown discount. Thank Giselle, thank the endorsements, thank whatever you want, but he's all about the rings and things.
Rick Saratella with us. So what I find interesting is Kyle Pitts' offensive rookie of the year odds
are actually higher now than they were before this Julio stuff, which I don't know, like if they're thinking, well, it's going to be harder for Kyle Pitts now if he was in a better situation with Julio and Ridley there. Obviously, all right, then, you know, who's going to line up and cover Pitts. But with that being stated, you could also argue if Julio Jones in there, then that's just more potential touches for Kyle Pitts as well. And I think Pitts will be able to step in. So just, you know, an update right now. Trevor Lawrence is plus 270. Justin Fields is 5-1. Zach Wilson is 7-1. Trey Lance is plus 750. Mac Jones is plus 950. And then Kyle Pitts is 12-1. And you and I discussed this before. Trevor Lawrence is not going to win Rookie of the Year. I think he's going to be running for his life. Justin Fields could be in the mix. I think Zach Wilson and the Jets have a terrible year. We don't even know if Trey Lance is going to play. Mac Jones, same similar situation. And you get to Kyle Pitts. What do you think about Kyle Pitts at 12-1?
Well, I will say about the quarterbacks real quickly here. I only see Justin Fields as the only rookie quarterback potentially playing for a winning program. And I don't think he's going to open the season as the starter. I think it'll be Andy Dalton's job to start the season. Eventually, Fields will take over. But if you look at the five quarterbacks they're taking in the first round, and you could say, okay, New England, they might be right around 500 or have a winning record, but I don't see Mac Jones playing at all unless Cam gets COVID or gets injured again. So, again, Jaguars are going to be terrible. The Jets are going to be a debacle. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is starting at least half the games. I'm surprised Najee Harris isn't up there because that's my guy.
Yeah, Najee Harris is right there at 13-1.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, so to me, Kyle Pitts, to your point, like if Julio Jones was there with Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts is the third kind of option, and so he gets a lot of one-on-one red zone situations that he takes advantage of. Now you take Julio Jones away from that equation, well, teams are going to now focus more on a Kyle Pitts. And I also think you got to remember here, tight end is one of the hardest, if not the hardest, but one of the hardest positions to transition out of college into the NFL. Go back in time and show me the immediate impact rookie tight end that just took the league by storm. It's a very difficult position to transition into the first year. So just take that into consideration as well.
Rick Saratella kicking with us on the Monday Night Meltdown. Rick, you and I talked a lot about Micah Parsons coming into the draft, and I liked him a lot. And I find it just kind of funny and stupid, actually, though, that all these NFL GMs were concerned. They don't this and that and the other stuff. And, oh, yeah, here he is right now listed to be the defensive rookie of the year. Right? So it's just funny when it's all said and done. I like the spot where he landed with Dallas, but I know you were a fan of Quiddy Pay, and I'll tell you what, they really like what they saw out of him in the minicamp. I know it was it's a small sample size in Indianapolis, but Quiddy's on a good football team. He's in a good situation. What do you make of the defensive rookie of the year odds right now? Parsons plus 550, as we talked about. The Colts were raving about how Pay looked. He's at plus 850. We got Jalen Phillips at 9-1. Jamin Davis at 9-1. It kind of flies under the radar. People don't talk a lot about Davis.
To me, Jamin Davis was the one pick I loved because of the front seven there in Washington, and he's just going to clean up, take out the papers in the trash, and he's going to be like Emilio Estevez over there, you know, garbage man cleaning up. I like that pick right there. Quiddy in Houston is a veteran guy as a situational pass rusher. You could argue Quiddy Pay is probably a better player right now than Justin Houston was at the latter of his career. So I think Pay is on a veteran team where he'll be able to take advantage of that. And Micah Parsons, I mean, listen, this whole 9/11 social media post, like, you got to be smarter than that. And then, you know, you post 9/11, what a dangerous combination, referring to his NFL number and his college number. And then he gets a whole media backlash, firestorm, and people jumping down his throat about, you know, how sensitive a topic that is. And then he goes back on social media and gets pissed off that people are pissed off at him. Like, Micah, come on. Like, you're the one who messed up. Like, be better than that.
Yeah, 9/11, that's so scary. The number 9 is more than a number to me. It's a part of me, always has been, since I was 9 years old. And as people came at him after, he said, I would never disrespect my country. This is, you know, this is the type of stuff, though, wasn't it? This is the type of stuff that sort of, yes, that the GMs didn't like. And you knew that was going to come with it. And it's one of these deals. You and I talked about him. I don't think he's a bad guy, but he's always just sort of on that edge of offensiveness, isn't he? And he always sort of will be.
Because it's always like when there's a bad situation, it's like I was when I was younger, Gabriel, it was like my parents be like, well, you're guilty by association. Why are you always around trouble? Right? why are you always around the trouble? Well, guess what? I mean, there's a guilty by association. You know, where there's trouble, Micah Parsons is not too far behind, whether it's the hazing scandal or, you know, some of the other things there. And again, like, you made the mistake. Don't come back and be pissed off because people are pissed off at you. Like, just own the mistake and move on. But I thought how he handled it, you kind of saw some of that immaturity that, you know, people were concerned about. But as you know, Jerry Jones, never one afraid to roll the dice.
Now, he actually, to get his full quote here, I bring speed, versatility, and physicality. I bring that dog and competitiveness. I'm going to make everyone around me better. I'm coming to challenge everyone, push everyone. So, you know, I think a morale is going through the roof. I think when you add me next to Jalen and next to Vander Esch, I think that's scary, man. You've got three athletic linebackers that can all hustle, can play, get off the ball. It was scary. Now it's a terrorist attack. Yeah, it was, you know, it's a bad choice of words.
You just got to be smarter than that, right? And so, you know, I get it. Like, the kid probably wasn't even born when 9/11 happened. So I'll give him a pass on this. But the way he handled the situation, the way he reacted to the situation, and, you know, even if you're not born when 9/11 happened, like, what are we teaching our kids in school to not know the sensitivity or have awareness or know better to say something like that? That's all.
It's like you said, it's real simple after, too. My bad comparison did not mean any disrespect to anybody, right? It's you know, it is what it is. But this is also the type of stuff that is sort of strike one with the media when you're trying to win Rookie of the Year as well. They're the ones that vote on this stuff.
Many favors, yeah.
Rick, Sarah, Tella. Well, Rick, you the man, and it's always a pleasure breaking it down, talking NFL football with you on this Memorial Day. Who knows what will happen in between now and next week, but I'll tell you what, pretty soon we'll be talking about camp and how these rookies are looking in camp.
Yeah, no, I'm getting excited to hit the scouting trails again this year, and I'll be doing some NFL training camp, you know, traveling, so we'll touch base next week, see where my travels take me, and just want to take a quick second here to thank everybody who served.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Continues to serve and allows us to chop it up here on a Memorial Day and talk football and have fun and have our freedom. So thank you so much to all of our military out there.
Yeah, said very, very well, Rick. God bless them. God bless you. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, Rick.
Hey, God bless the sports rage.
Remember the good old days before you found us, got the winning edge, and started winning?
Neither do we.
Thank God.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
These days, it's hard to find something you can trust. Your car?
Yeah, right.
Trust takes time. And that's why we're here.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week. We are your trusted source for gaming odds.
And more.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 204.
Hey, Luke. There's a big crowd. Welcome us back. We lost.
Hey, I'll give you something to cry about, you loser. You can't catch a football? Let's see if you can catch a rock.
The late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage.
I am Gabriel Morenci. Throwing it down on the Monday night meltdown. Shout out to all of our guests here this evening, Mo Khan, George Kurtz, Rick Saratella. And the jokes are flying fast and furious right now on Twitter. Just heard from an 87-year-old Leaf season ticket holder. When I finally die, I want six or seven Leafs to be my pallbearers so they can finally let me down one more effing time. That's the way that Leaf fans are feeling this evening. It's still trending right now, the meltdown. The meltdown is now complete. I almost, it's sort of one of those, I don't believe what I just saw, the late, great Joe Buck type of moments. Wow, this is a good one. Somebody has a bunch of banners up, like Photoshop. Another banner year for the wretched Leafs. Blow a 4-1 lead to Boston banner. Blow a 4-1 lead to Montreal banner. Lost to our own Zamboni driver banner. Last time we reached 2 banner. Blow a 5-1 lead to Ottawa banner. Yeah, wow. It's quite a lot of banners up there. Man, like, yeah, it's pretty cold out there. A couple of Leaf fans actually in tears. We're seeing, not really sure why. I mean, how can this come as a surprise? How can any of this come as a surprise? Most Leaf fans seem to be prepared for this. There's certain franchises, you know what? Very similar to the New York Knicks. Think about the excitement that was around the New York Knicks the other day and, like, where we are now with this thing. And, we've come a long way. So let's set the stage right now for tomorrow. All right, got to love the playoffs. Let's set the stage for tomorrow. Get you the schedule. Get this thing lined up. We weren't on today, game time decisions, but we will be tomorrow. Let's start off in the NBA tomorrow night. We've got Boston and Brooklyn. They're the first ones up at 7:30 Eastern time. And Brooklyn, of course, can close this series out. They're massive double-digit favorites in this game. Finally, they're laying a big number. It's minus 12 right now. Brooklyn Nets minus 12 at 7:30 Eastern time tomorrow against the Boston Celtics. And remember we told you that with all the smack talk that's been going on with Danny Ainge and everything, that I thought Brooklyn are going to want to go in there and, like, really punch them in the mouth. And, you know, we were a day late, dollar short with that. They started off, of course, game three on a 19-4 run. They ended up losing a game. They weren't screwing around over the weekend. Somebody threw a bottle at Kyrie Irving off the court. Kyrie Irving did wipe his feet on the Celtics logo. I was unaware that that dude's name was Lucky. Did you know that, Matthias? That guy on the Celtics logo. I never even noticed the logo. It's one of those deals. I didn't know either.
It's funny because you bring that up, and that's actually the first thing I noticed when I read the tweet from Glenn Big Baby Davis.
They said, you step on Lucky.
Every team. That's the first thing I noticed. I'm like, oh, his name's Lucky, huh?
Yeah. Glenn Davis, Big Baby, had physically threatened Kyrie Irving for real. He basically told him, You know, you're going to get hurt in real life for doing that. He said, you step on Lucky, you're stepping and disrespecting on every player that ever played for that team before. And then he went on and he said to him, he said, I'm being for real. He goes, you're going to get hurt in real life. So they're not playing around. So we knew, I told you, man, Kyrie wanted to get them. And he did on the way out. And then he nearly got hit in the head with a bottle. And now that dude's getting charged, actually, with attempt a deadly assault or whatever, violent assault. What was the charge? He's getting like the full 9 yards. He's probably going to do time, actually, or severe probation. I'd probably go to jail for that though. With the charges, they're going to make an example, right? They're going to make an example of this guy. But NBA fans are out of control, man. Like, what the hell is wrong with you people? I've been to a lot of NBA games, all right? As I've stated, the only time I ever had an incident like this is when I hit Billy Gunn in the face with a beer cup at a wrestling event. And it was a wrestling event, and everybody was throwing things into the ring. I just happened to hit him in the face and piss him off. It was just one of those things, all right? So I don't know if I have the full moral authority here, But as I stated, there is a difference. Like, Matias, is there not a difference between one guy trying to hit Kyrie Irving in the head with a bottle and me throwing a beer cup with some warm beer at a wrestler when 20,000 people are throwing cups in the ring at the same time? Like I said, my beer just happened to be sort of full. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not a bad guy. Like, I wasn't single-handed over to hit this guy in the face. Whatever. People were throwing, like, wrappers. Like, in the old days at wrestling events, they didn't mind that stuff. Like, they would encourage it. You know what I mean? Like, they, you know, they ripped the town and stuff like that, and people would throw beer cups at them and hot dogs and stuff like that and popcorn. It was part of the show. As I stated, I just happened to hit him in the face, and it really pissed him off. But, Kevin Durant's not Kevin Garnett is not happy either right now. Kevin Durant's never happy. Kevin Garnett and Glenn Davis are not pleased with Kyrie Irving. All right, Garnett and Davis took issue with what happened. Moments before leaving the court after Brooklyn's victory, Irving walked to center court at TD Garden and stomped on the Celtics logo. He actually sort of wiped his feet. And he deliberately stepped on Buddy's head.
Does it really matter?
The thing is, too, like, exactly, people step on the logo all the time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the logo's on the damn floor, man. You know, but there's a code in the room, right? Like, Justin Bieber did that. I think it was in the Edmonton Oilers room. Bieber took a picture in the room, and he was literally standing on the logo in the middle of the carpet. And, like, the players don't step on the logo in the dressing room or the locker room. Like, NBA players, NHL, it is a code. You don't step on the logo. Like, you know what I mean? But it's on the court. It's a little bit different. Nah, you know what, Matias? It was disrespectful what he did. But he hates the fans, right? And he hates Danny Ainge. So we're going to be surprised? If you're going to yell racial stuff at him, don't be upset when he steps on Lucky's face after. Right? It goes both ways. I mean,
I think it's a legendary move, Gabe. I think it's a legendary move. I think it's going to make him be remembered for a long time in Boston in a negative way. But if you're a Brooklyn fan, you're loving it. You know, this is just making it better for the next game, and it's going to make it better for next year any single time Kyrie Irving goes to Boston. You know, it's a game at the end of the day. Is it disrespectful? Sure. But you know what? He's a villain, and I'm loving this. It's going to hype up every single time Kyrie Irving steps into Boston, and I don't mind it.
You better get security next time he steps into Boston. They already hated him. I like Kyrie Irving, but Kyrie Irving quit on the Boston Celtics. Like, he really shouldn't have this massive beef against him. But people shouldn't be throwing things at his head either. So, like, yeah, Glenn Baby Davis tweeted, real BS. Like I said, you step on Lucky, you step on everybody that played for that team. Keep that crap basketball before somebody gets hurt in real life. Kevin Garnett says, so we all going to pretend that Kyrie Irving never just stepped on that never happened? Are we just going to act like we didn't see that, Garnett wrote? What the F is going on? You can't do that. That's not cool on any level. All of us need to be better. FR. Garnett's not too happy here about this either. Paul Pierce was flipping out about Kyrie Irving earlier over the weekend, too. So, Kyrie's making a lot of friends in Boston. Well, don't worry, Boston. Your season comes to an end tomorrow night. All right? Your season comes to an end tomorrow. I don't know if you want to lay, you know, normally I wouldn't be in a hurry to see, I want to lay 12 points, but they're going to get murdered. They're going to get murdered. They know they're not going to come back and win, right? So this isn't the NHL. Well, it's true. If you're up Boston, you know you're not coming back and winning the series. Like, do you want to go back? You want this to be over if you're up Boston. Absolutely. It's like, whatever, dude, just end it. They're going to lose by like 18 or something, 21, 18, whatever. Brooklyn will deliver the knockout punch tomorrow. And Irving will be glad to do it. Irving will be glad to do it tomorrow, too. Like,
Davis should tell the Celtic players, if it really bothers you that much, you know, then go out there and win the game. Play better. Don't lose on your home court, and it won't happen.
Well, that's a good point, actually. That's a good point that if Garnett and Big Baby are so upset, they should be upset at the Celtics for not getting in Kyrie's face after that. The current Celtic players didn't even care, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, this all started with T.O., man. T.O. was the one to do it, right? T.O. stomped on the Cowboy logo, but at least the Cowboys stood up and, like, attacked him, right? Like, at least, like, Buddy on the Cowboys is like, no, you ain't doing that. This happens all the time now, man. It happens all the time now in sports. Remember last year in the NFL, teams were doing it off into each other. It's like the new thing right now. But you know what? I actually do think. I think, listen, you want to get upset at anybody, get up the Boston Celtic players for not you know, flipping out themselves about this. When they'll say, oh, we didn't see it. I don't think they care. Right? I don't think they like Danny Ainge. Right? So to begin with. So we're dynamic. Like I said, I'm not really – I generally don't want to lay 12 points in a game like this, but I don't see what Boston are going to be able to do. Brooklyn are going to want to finish them off as well. Right? Brooklyn are going to want to finish them off and just get this thing over with. Brooklyn don't want to – you know, think about that too, guys. If you're Brooklyn – Kyrie just stomped on the floor. Do you really want to go back there? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that would definitely, like, be brought up, like, if I was them. I'd be like, yeah, listen, we talked a lot of smack, man. Like, we stomped on the floor on the way out. Be a hell of a lot better not to have to go back there this week, all right? Let's go back there next year when they're, you know, people aren't quite as mad about this. Because I tell you what, there might be, like, 1,000 people getting arrested throwing bottles. They don't care in Boston, man. You think these yahoos in Boston care about getting arrested? Yeah, I think the Nets are going to finish them off. And you almost have to lay the points. You can't do a money line. They're minus 850 on the money line. So it's not even one of these, oh, you can money line parlay it. So it's Brooklyn minus the points. You got Portland at Denver. This has been a fun series. Been a, you know what I mean, one of these, you know, one team steps up type of deals. Now it's Denver's turn. Interesting game. We'll break it down tomorrow. I don't want to lock anything in right now. And then we get the Lakers and the Suns tomorrow night. It was 5.5 earlier this evening, and now it's sitting at 5 right now. Crazy to see suddenly that Phoenix are 5-point favorites, but of course AD won't be playing in this game. Changes the dynamic. And the total is interesting here at 207. With no AD... You know, you got to believe that Schroeder is more involved. I just wonder about, like, the pace of this game. It's been a battle, though. Phoenix and Chris Paul, man, you've got an opportunity here, man. You've got an opportunity. You don't win this game, seriously. So, the Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
It's your lucky day. You found the trusted source for gaming, odds,
and more.
Go ahead, kick the tires.
Ouch!
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
As our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you need information,
you go to an expert.
Not just anybody, but someone who's been right on the money before. So when it comes to gaming, odds,
and more,
you've come to the right place.
You're listening
to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
The 177th minute, the 3-minute warning. So just to set the stage for tomorrow, Boston and Brooklyn are at 7:30. Brooklyn minus 12, total 231.5. Portland and Denver. this series has been a fun series, and it really has been a back-and-forth series. And I was on Portland on Saturday, and they routed them. And I'm gonna be on Denver here. I'll be on Denver here. I think Denver win this game, then it'll go back, and then it'll go back. This thing's going seven games. Denver just undervalued, right? If you look at the series, Denver just they're undervalued. You know, every game is basically a pick 'em, or Denver are going to be underdogs. So they're minus 118 on the money line at home. And look, they're minus one and a half on a point spread at minus 108. But why would you want to do that? You can get them on a money line at minus 118. You imagine they win the game by 1 point and you lost because of the 10-cent difference there. I wouldn't be laying the 1.5 there. I'd just do the money line at minus 118. The Lakers and Suns, the Lakers are in trouble. Everybody's, you know, even guys that are on the court aren't 100% for them right now, but neither are Phoenix. Phoenix are a young team. They don't have any playoff experience and any sort of playoff success to hang their hat on. Even Chris Paul doesn't have any real playoff success. He's won some series before, but this is an absolutely positively have to win game. It really is. Like, if you're the Phoenix Suns, you need to win this game because you know the Lakers. LeBron always saves the best for last. Remember that, right? So you need to get up 3-2. And then you've got two cracks out of that. We'll break it all down at 6 o'clock Eastern on Game Time Decisions. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
You're listening to sports news you can actually use.
Actionable insights and expert perspectives on daily sporting events.
We are
the Sports Grid Radio Network.